This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. If y'all can, do me a favor today. If you know a veteran of any of the forces, reach out to him today. Send him a message. Give him a call. Give him a hug. Say hello. And say salute.
Did I tell you I got the opportunity to do that yesterday at Will Call Bar? We were partying with a whole bunch of Cowboys fans all night. Found out three of them were veterans, and I bought them a shot known as Mexican Candy.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I was worried that they were messing with me when I heard the name, and I was like, all right.
So, you thought it was like a word for something else?
Yeah.
Give them the thanks on Veterans Day. We always appreciate our veteran Tolos here on the 105.3 The Fan. Now, guys, this is a brand new segment. It's called What Won, What Lost. All right, now it sounds very simple, right? Well, I talk about a guy that won on one snap. You know, he beat the offensive line and he got to the quarterback. He won. What lost? What guy didn't do well? What did you see last night in the Cowboys game within everything that won for you and made you excited? And what did you see that lost? We already got a bunch of people texting in on this as well from the 972. Cooper was killing it. Wish we had given him the opportunity to go for it at the end of the game to go get that win for 200 yards and possibly two TTs. And gotta love Dak in that hip game that he had last night. You see his little hip action that he had in the pregame?
Yes, because in the bar, every time he did a hip thrust, everyone's like, whoa. So that was actually pretty fun. For me, what won is the concept of field position, because we continue to operate out of the 1987 NFL rulebook, and in my opinion, and operate as if every game only surrounds field position. And I think you saw that again last night. What loss? Tackling and clock management. The clock management befuddles me to no end on the last real drive, the next to last drive, if you prefer, is the Cowboys were seemingly almost running a hurry-up offense down in the red zone, despite the fact that there were more than 2 minutes left and the Vikings had all of their timeouts. Then the Vikings' refusal to call a timeout was perplexing. They were going to lose the game for themselves if we scored a touchdown. It was really weird. It was almost as if the Cowboys were saving their timeouts in case they were like, well, we might not score a touchdown here, which I thought was a poor strategy. They looked like they were about to leave too much time on the clock when they made that snap right before the two-minute warning.
And when the Vikings called that timeout on fourth down, I thought the Cowboys called that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, finally, they're using the timeouts, they're going to get the right play. And then it was like, timeouts, Vikings. And I was like, wait, so they're just going to run up to the line on the most crucial play? And like you were saying, it's a hurry-up offense. And they were talking about they wanted to run down the time, and they were trying to leave as little clock for the Vikings and Kirk Cousins as possible. But everything on the field was contradictory to what they were saying.
We do have some phone calls. The phone actually is ringing right now. 877-881-1053. You can call or text to the same number. Let's go to Earl in Detroit. You're on DFW Sports Station, home of the Cowboys. What's going on, Earl?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, man. How are you?
Frustrated.
Yeah.
Frustrated.
Tell us why.
I mean, now, obviously, like I said, I'm in Detroit, so, you know, y'all will be here next week, and I'm looking at this going, y'all can't come up here playing like that. I'm going to have to go hide somewhere. So, I mean, I'm glad that Randall Cobb looked like he's trying to kind of get himself going. But, I mean, honestly, and my question to y'all is, you know, what is it going to take to make some changes here? Obviously, the coaching and the play calling is very questionable. And they don't seem to be in no hurry to change it.
What it's going to take, in my opinion, is 8 more games. So it's going to take the 7 more regular season games, and it's going to take losing in the wild card round. That's what I think it's going to take for people, because a lot of times this morning, like, I'm not immune to seeing what the overwhelming majority of the fan text says a lot of times. It's like, the answer is simple. The answer is simple. Well, it seems like nothing is simple when it comes to this franchise. And if you think the answer is simple and that the Cowboys are going to correct it right now, it's not going to happen. I think it's going to take 8 more games. 7 games if you don't make the playoffs, 8 games if you lose in the wild card round.
from the 214. What won last night as we're getting an inch closer to getting rid of Garrett and bad coaching in the last minutes. We're losing. We need to make our field goals. 877-881-1053. Let's go to Kyle in Irving. Kyle, you're on DFW Sports Station. What won, what lost last night?
Dak Prescott, man. I mean, what lost was I just don't understand why we're running the ball when we have seconds left.
Yeah, no, Dak Prescott was great last night. And they said, Mike Zimmer came in and said, we are going to make that guy throw the football. We're going to make Dak Prescott beat us. And you know what? He was good enough to beat him.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott was good enough to beat the Minnesota Vikings last night. The Cowboys defense allowed too much. The Cowboys defense gave up too much, and it wasn't good enough because they weren't able to do it. Now, at the end of the game, you can say, okay, hold on. Now, what's on him? If he's got the RPO and he has to make a decision there, why didn't he run? Why didn't Dak put it on his legs to go make a play? Why didn't he throw the ball? Why did he hand it off to Zeke? Why didn't he make a different decision there? And you can blame him for that. And you know what? Dak will take that. And I think the offense will say, you know what? Maybe we probably should have called another play, especially considering how we were driving down the field. But Travis even said, you do adjust a little bit. Whenever the box gets smaller, you start playing a different game. Maybe they don't need to.
I thought he was really smart about instantly deflecting that his job has nothing to do with calling plays. Mm-hmm. Like, that is somebody who knows very well how that game played out. Like, look, that's not my job. And that's fair. From the 903, what lost? Vander Esch. He just lost. Fell off. Sophomore slump. I mean, at this point, that is really hard to argue.
He looks pedestrian.
You hope it's a sophomore slump, right? And not like it was just a standout rookie year, and now he's sliding back into the whole reason that we wanted to take Derwin James to begin with. Now, I know Derwin James has been hurt, but Derwin James was all pro last year.
He wouldn't have got hurt if he was in Dallas.
I mean
that's fan logic right
there. Sure.
Let's go to Will in Fort Worth. Will, you're on DFW Sports Station. What won, what lost last night in the game?
Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper definitely won last night. Those toe taps by Cooper were ridiculous.
Yeah. What lost?
Coaching continues to be the Achilles heel. We're run of the mill. Rewind last week. The Giants coming out of a bye week. We're on discipline, turnovers, penalties, slow start. Same thing over and over again. The talent on the team and what the front office has done continues to overcome the coaching inefficiencies, but it's going to be another Cowboys season where we're going to be run-of-the-mill. It's going to come down to Philadelphia. If we beat Philadelphia, we go. If we lose to Philadelphia, we don't. Early exit out of the playoffs if we don't. We need better coaching.
So I want to, not that I disagree with the latter part of that, but I want to focus on the former part, who won. The Amari Cooper and the toe tapping. It was really funny. When we were doing the watch party last night, I immediately looked around and not a whole lot of people celebrated that touchdown because
they thought it was an
it because they're like, he didn't catch that. Like, and it was so funny. Like, nobody there was a little bit like, but it was a touchdown. And people were like, there's no way. And then you saw the replay and then the bar freaking erupted because you're like, holy crap, he really did catch that.
Well, I mean,
astonishing.
It's because Dez caught it, right? Like, we've had too many times, Kevin, where they've ruled against us and nobody. And you're right. It was such an amazing acrobatic circus catch. And he had a couple of those last night. So did Randall Cobb. Look at the numbers last night for Amari Cooper. 11 catches, 147 yards on 14 targets.
If you're converting on like 79% of your targets, you will win. Well, I was going to say you'll win every NFL game, but I guess you won't. I want to point this out because this is so inaccurate. From the 469, you keep your timeouts, you move the ball, and you drain the clock. It was as good as it could have been. That is so not the way that happened because the Cowboys did not drain the clock. They kept their timeouts and didn't drain the clock because they were consistently snapping the ball with more than 20 seconds left on the play clock. If your idea was to drain the clock, that is absolutely not what they did. And had they scored sooner when it looked like they would, they almost scored or almost looked like they were going to score before the two-minute warning, leaving the Vikings that and all three of their timeouts. If their goal was to run down the clock, they did not do a good job of that at all. The fact that you were in a position where the last drive of the game was only the third to last drive of the game. Like, everything in that setup for that to be the last drive of the game, and clock management was very subpar on that drive. And that's just a fact. And if you don't believe that, we need to talk about clock management because I think you're wrong.
What won and what lost last night from the 972? Dalvin Cook won. Linebackers took a big L, and so did Sean Sharif. Small hands. Hey!
Whoa,
just because I read those things doesn't mean you have to send those things in.
Ron Burgundy?
I do read whatever is on the text message. Y'all will find this out.
Don't tell people that.
Why? I want them to text in honest stuff, but I don't want them to try and trick me. All right? Y'all be nice. All right? Y'all are great. Y'all are great listeners so far. No. From the 469, Dak was good, but he made three bad decisions in a row. He handed to Zeke twice and threw to him on fourth down. You have to look at Cooper on getting open all night long.
You stay classy, San Diego.
You're right, man. He made three bad decisions there. Now, we're going to talk about this a little more. How does the decision-making process go? How is he taught? What is he expected to do? And Travis told us earlier, and it's a real fine line that Dak has to walk, because you go and say, all right, the coach told me to do this. It's better that I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to do rather than going against the grain sometimes. But, you know, maybe he should have in order to win the game.
And I've seen a couple of these messages. They're all kind of to the extent from the 817 LMAO. We ain't making the playoffs. That's what lost last night, which is, I mean, I understand in after a loss, everything seems like it's the absolute worst. You're still in first place in your division and you've already crushed the team that you're tied for first place with. You can tell me that they have a much easier schedule down the stretch, and that's fair. I'm just telling you, with seven games to go, you're in first place. If the season ended right now, besides the fact that the NFL would be confused as to what happened, you would be in the playoff.
From the 682, what lost? Play calling. What won? Play calling.
Because Jason Garrett clearly has the,
All right.
I was going to say, maybe not Jason Garrett. Whoever has the freedom to do whatever they want.
Let's go to Tom in Jersey. Tom, you're on DFW's Sports Station, 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. What won, what lost last night?
Oh, my God. The coaching has to. This Garrett's got to go, man. I am so frustrated with, I don't know if the Tavon Austin thing got me more pissed off or the fact that they ran it with Zeke twice and then threw to him on the fourth down. I'm just beyond frustrated with this team.
Man, he didn't even have time to put the R in that. That's how frustrated he is this morning, and I think I'm with him about that. Look, I'm not here. I was going to say, maybe we should stop down more on some of this play-calling stuff. I'm not excusing any of that. That's just the thing that I think we can all universally agree on. That's why I'm fascinated by some of these opinions, because if you're here to tell me it was the play-calling and the coaching, 100%, sign me up. I agree. I had issues with that across the board, from the time management to the RPO, even as an option instead of pass, pass, pass. I agree with all of it.
And then he threw in the Tavon Austin punt return.
Yes.
Which, if you go look at it, I mean, he had plenty of room to make a play. All he had to do was say, I'm not going to do a fair catch here. And Kevin, we don't win in the special teams at all. There's no victory. There's no win for the Cowboys in special teams. There's nothing that tilts the table at all.
And if only we could go directly to the source to find out what was Tavon Austin told in that situation. Oh, yeah, that's right. We had Jason Garrett this morning, and he said this.
That's a situation where there's a lot of different scenarios in that situation. And, you know, there's a school of thought this is absolutely fair catch in that situation so you don't, you know, bleed the clock and you give your offense a chance at midfield to go score a touchdown. And then, you know, if the returner, you know, he has that in his mind and he has an opportunity to go make a play, you know, we certainly encourage him to do that. So, you know, in that situation, you know, he fair caught it. And, you know, again, we'll evaluate that, you know, based on the situation versus exactly what happened on the particular play as to how to handle that better in the future.
So that was more of a player choice. You didn't say no matter what.
Well, you lay out the situation. Let's not waste a lot of time. If you don't have a real good opportunity here to go make a return directly north and south, you know, don't waste a lot of time. And in that situation, the way he saw it, he went ahead and made the fair catch and, you know, gave us the opportunity around midfield. But, you know, in hindsight, when you look at it, there might have been opportunity for him not to do that and to kind of hit it north and south and see if we could make some yards on it.
And somebody said, Kevin, how are we not talking about Cheeto getting torched all night? Brian brought us on DallasCowboys.com. Jordan Lewis or Anthony Brown needs to start in place of Cheeto. I don't know if it's a lack of confidence or just plain poor technique, but he's a shell of what he once was. He no longer covers well, which has made him a liability, especially when opponents need to convert on third down. By the way, Cowboys were really good stopping third down conversions, 27%. They converted, Minnesota converted 8 of 14 last night.
Yikes.
And so he's saying that Cheeto at this point is a problem for the Cowboys in the secondary.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's Gridiron Gravy AFC Edition. If you thought that was bad, I have perhaps the saddest goal to go sequence in the history of football. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
First and 10 at the Cowboy 49. Ball's in the middle of the blue star. Prescott's in the gun. Cowboys down by 4. Blitz coming from everyone, and he throws it right, and it's caught. And it's Cooper running away, and it's Cooper down to the 30.
And that's what it was all night. Why didn't they do that late in the game? We continue to dissect that throughout the day. We'll have Stephen Jones on in the noon hour, as well as Mickey Spagnuolo. We'll discuss all those things with those gentlemen as well. But right now, it's time to go around the entire AFC, where big stuff happened. I'm watching highlights right now, Kevin, of the Titans-Chiefs game.
Yeah, oh,
big
Lord.
Stuff happened in the AFC, so let's dip into some gridiron gravy there.
Shall we start with Titans-Chiefs then?
Sounds good.
As we all predicted, Pat Mahomes returned and lost in a scoring duel with Ryan Tannehill.
He threw for 446 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, and lost the game.
I don't.
How? How are you that good and lose?
Because
I don't know. Ask Dak.
Dang!
Nobody
had to
wants
go
to
up against Ryan
that.
Tannehill. You just don't beat a Ryan Tannehill team.
You got to stop that. You got to stop that right now. What is Ryan Tannehill? Ryan Tannehill had 181 passing yards.
Do you care? They won. They scored 35 points. That's all that matters. Also, what matters is, oh, man, the Chiefs special team was just a freaking catastrophe yesterday. So it was only logical that the game ended with the Chiefs getting a field goal blocked because, my goodness, that was bad. Now, the question became, were the Titans offsides on that play? A lot of people are quick to point out that they do, in fact, believe that the Titans were offsides.
They were.
And they should have had another shot at it. But that's not how it went. The Titans win 35-32. The Chiefs have won two of their last six games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's going to be good enough.
It doesn't seem like it's going to be good enough, and I take you to the most important statistic I could possibly tell you today that's not Cowboys related. The Chiefs, who have the unquestioned best player in the NFL, Pat Mahomes, the reigning MVP, are half a game ahead of the Raiders. I'll say that again.
Wait, what?
The Chiefs, who have Pat Mahomes, the person we all agree is the best and we would all start a franchise with, they are half a game against the Raiders, who people think are the worst.
Oh, I mean, you've been wrong about that for not you specifically. People have been wrong about John Gruden and what they're doing for a long time. Now, they've beaten some bad teams. You know,
sure.
Like they've gotten lucky in some instances, but...
Why do you say that? Because they have a point differential of negative 32?
Yeah. You know, it's like when the Rangers were winning one-run games all the time. You're like, that just can't last. But the simple fact is they are what their record says they are right now. And John Gruden made a lot of changes in order to have a team that he thought that he liked. But, man, Tyreek Hill had 11 catches for 157 yards and a touchdown on 19 targets. Like, you just don't anticipate that's going to happen. But you're right. The Chiefs are in a real weird funk right now. And they LeSean McCoy was a healthy scratch yesterday, too.
That is correct.
That's interesting.
So, that was a case of load management. They went into this game saying,
in a 16-game NFL season?
Yeah, so the Chiefs said...
Can't wait to get game 17 added to the schedule.
What's interesting to me is the source from James Palmer said that this was a predetermined rest week for him. They want him fresh down the stretch. Well, at this point, down the stretch might not even include the playoffs, which I don't think is anything people would have predicted going into the season, but now you have a Chiefs team that is going to have to fight to get into the playoffs. Now, back to your point about potentially the Raiders being lucky. I believe there are 14 teams in the NFL that have negative point differentials. There are two that have a winning record. The Carolina Panthers are 5-4 at a -3. And then the Raiders are 5-4 with a point differential of -32. So, can't really totally figure that part out, but look out for the Raiders because they're half of game out of first place. Now let's go to Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey called out Juju Smith-Schuster, which is a weird time to call somebody out when you just lost. So the Rams are now also 5-4, as are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers have the most advantageous schedule in all of the NFL over the next 3 weeks. Here's who they play in the next 3 weeks, and I swear I'm not kidding about this. They play the Browns, the Bengals, and the Browns again.
Okay.
So in the span of 3 weeks, they play the Browns, the Bengals, and the Browns again. They are 5-4. They have won 4 straight. It is not hard to imagine a world in which they will be up to 7 straight by the time they finish their run of Ohio.
The whole state of Ohio?
Yes! Look, if they win the next 3 games, the Pittsburgh Steelers are undoubtedly Ohio State champions.
Wow, man. Yeah, and just thinking about...
They were dead.
And some, yeah, they were dead in the water. And, you know, a lot of people are bringing Minka Fitzpatrick's name up on Twitter to us, adding the majors.
Yeah.
I don't think Kevin at Shippy.
Fun
and
Sports.
Yeah, Shippy Fun Sports.
Yeah.
A lot of people are bringing up Fitzpatrick and how, like, he's injected life into them.
Absolutely.
About time.
Absolutely. Now, let's go back to the Browns. So the Browns were victorious yesterday. But not because of this. You could be frustrated about the Cowboys play calling all you want. I have never in my life heard of a worse goal-to-go situation than this. Here's the scenario. The Browns get the ball first and goal from the 1-yard line.
Nice.
Count the plays.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Count the plays in your head as we go along. First and goal from the 1. Incomplete pass.
Why did you throw it on first down?
Well, don't worry. Penalty on the Bills.
Okay, all right.
First and goal again from the 1.
There you go. All right.
So they decide to run. -1 yards.
How?
No, second, you know, and why? Goal.
You know how? Ed Oliver.
They had Zeke.
No.
Oh.
Hey. Zeke is a quality running back, sir.
Too soon. Second and goal from the two. They run for 1 yard. So they're back. Third and goal at the one. They pass. Incomplete.
Oh, my God.
Penalty. First and goal again at the one. So keep in mind, this is the third time they have had first and goal from the one. Cleveland Browns run the ball. 0 yards. Second and goal from the one. Incomplete pass.
Good God.
Third and goal from the one. 0 yards. Fourth and goal from the one. -2 yards. So,
there.
In case you're counting at home, that is 8 plays for a robust -2 yards. And that is how the Cleveland Browns ran 8 plays from the 1 yard line and did not score a touchdown.
Did you happen to see the story on USA Today over the weekend? I kind of wanted to go a little more in depth with it, like tomorrow if we can.
Okay.
But Jimmy Haslam chose to go with Freddie Kitchens over the
analytics
head coach, yeah, that the analytics department wanted. He has an entire analytics department that he has hired, which has acquired countless numbers of talent, all right, and countless numbers of draft picks. They've done an amazing job doing all the things that they do. But when Colby says Cleveland gonna Cleveland,
yep,
I think he's talking about Jimmy Haslam. And the guy that just likes to commit all the treacherous things against his entire organization. Freddie Kitchens was the last choice they wanted. They wanted the offensive coordinator for the Vikings right now. And they said, this is the guy we should get. And Jimmy Haslam said, I disagree. Same thing happened when they brought Hugh Jackson in. He said, I disagree. And he went out and he was like, I'm a renegade. And he went and got his own guy. I don't understand how they have an entire group and said, nah, that's it. We're not going to use you. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that is all true. I also don't understand, looking back at the NFL draft, where teams last year were like, we should draft Baker Mayfield. We should draft Sam Darnold. We should draft Josh Allen. We should draft Josh Rosen. We should draft all those people ahead of Lamar Jackson. Whoops. So Lamar Jackson,
because of Bill Polian, that's why.
Yeah, he admitted he was wrong. Lamar Jackson was awesome yesterday, because of course he was. 49-13 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. He had a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3, which, by the way, when we're fixing things in sports, that's at the top of my list of stupid things that have to be fixed. Why isn't it 150?
That's not how the math works.
That's ridiculous.
That's the second time he's had it this year?
Yes.
Is he the only player to ever have it twice in a season?
The only other Steelers player to do so was Ben Roethlisberger in 2007. Okay. It's been done before, but it's pretty rare when you get multiple perfect passer ratings in the same season. But do not sleep on the Ravens defense. Did you know in the last 3 weeks, the Ravens defense has scored 5 times? I'm going to say that again because I believe that it's truly astonishing. In the last 3 weeks, the Ravens defense has scored 5 times.
So you've gotten 35 points from your defense?
Correct. If you were playing football the last 3 weeks, the Ravens' defense, without playing one offensive snap, is barely losing 49-35. That's not bad.
Wow, man. That's really impressive. And that's just what the Ravens, I don't know how they do it. How can the Ravens consistently put out that kind of defensive product? Is it the talent? I mean, because they got Earl Thomas. He's pretty good, I guess. Is it what is it that they keep adding to the mix that makes that they can just keep adding that kind of talent on their defense? I don't know, man.
I wish I knew
the
answer.
Our defense could do it.
Just like I wish the answer to why the Cowboys don't know that a football game starts in the first quarter. These are things I don't know the answer to. Real quick, one of the targets that I wanted to go after at the trade deadline, Carl Joseph from the Raiders. He has officially been put on the IR. He has a foot injury, so he will be out for the rest of the season. Now, this isn't necessarily just AFC or NFC. I wanted to throw this out to the world because this would be wild. Word going around is that Jeff Bezos, the richest human on the planet, depending on the stock market, he might be the second person. He's worth about $110 billion.
right?
He wants to buy a football team.
Why can't he just make it an even 150?
He wants to get a football team. Maybe that means expansion. Maybe it means whatever. Would you want him to buy your team knowing he has more money than any human on the planet? Well, more legitimate money. There's thoughts that, like, other sources have all kinds of other money.
I don't want him buying the Cowboys. But it sounds, man, it really does sound like, because he had the Washington Post and then took the Washington Post and put them in a new place, right?
Yeah.
And
changed some of their political leanings.
Too. Well, smartly. The other side, too, is the Redskins. That might be the place he goes. He might go get that Redskins team from Snyder, who's just the worst.
Yes.
And completely change everything. And I kind of want to see it because I'm tired. I really know it's fun that we get to destroy the Redskins every year.
Can I ask Stephen Jones if Bezos offered you guys $20 billion? Do you think Jerry would sell it?
Yes.
Okay. Coming up in the
Why wouldn't you sell for $20 billion?
Why did you say why wouldn't you?
Yes.
All right. We will find out. And I hope Stephen goes to you, Corey, and goes, I don't know, Corey, have you ever been a billionaire? That's my favorite thing that would have ever happened in this show if that's how it goes down. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, everyone is furious about the play calling. But who does it fall on mostly? Garrett, Kellen, or Dak? 877-881-1053. Let us know. We'll do it next right here on 105.3 The Fan. But before we get to that, we want to fix up your life, fix up your finances with Reuben and Associates. We talk about this all the time. The number one thing, you know you have financial problems. You don't know what to do. Well, actually, maybe you do know what to do, but you don't want to pick up the phone. It can be embarrassing. All right, are you going to let pride stand in the way of you fixing your finances and getting everything in your life where it needs to be? Or do you want to dial 1-800-LAWYERS or go to DallasTexasLegal.com and get things working for you?
When it comes to debt, don't talk to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. Talk to a Tolo. Talk to our guy. Talk to a guy that is just like you and me. Talk to Mark Reuben at 1-800-LAWYERS. It can be the toughest call to make. It absolutely can be. But you know what's going to happen after you get done with that call, after you finally say, this is the choice that I want to make for myself? You're going to be able to breathe again. And that's important. The stresses of daily life and debt sitting on top of you, it really does start to weigh on your quality of life. And that's what you want. That's what you need. You need that kind of quality of life. Mark can tell you just why it can be the one that lets you breathe again. He's helped Kevin and I have peace of mind, and yep, he can help all the Tolos do the exact same thing. So call Mark Reuben at 1-800-LAWYERS and make sure you stop those harassing bill collector calls, man. Get that taken care of. DallasTexasLegal.com.
Pollard and Elliott are together in the game on either side of Prescott, and now they both jump out into the formation. Prescott in the gun, brings one in motion, fakes the give, rolls to his right, points, throws it to the side of the end zone. Cooper, touchdown, he did it again! Cooper's magic feet did it again. By the way, the hands aren't too bad either.
And when you have those kinds of when you have those kinds of weapons,
awesome,
you gotta use them. 877-881-1053. Who do you blame more for the way things went on the very end of the drive? Garrett, Kellen Moore, or Dak Prescott? 877-881-1053. And Kevin, I told you this morning earlier that what we are trying to do is trying to figure out how to fix this team, how to, yep, figure out what happened last night. That we don't want to just sit here and sulk in the sorrow of a loss. We want to do something about it. And what I've loved all day so far, and they're doing a really good job, is the Tolos are interacting. They're texting in. They're taking part in this. And a lot of people have some great ideas on how to fix this thing. So keep them coming. That's one of the things that Kevin and I have always prided ourselves on. When we started at this station on the weekends, we said, hey, what is this fan text thing? How does this work? And it became a way for you guys to have a voice with what we do on the show. So we really appreciate what y'all are doing, and let's continue to roll this thing along. Y'all got some great stuff.
Now, Corey, this might help because all of the people are eligible to be called out. Let's go to this morning with Sean and Mike Fisher filling in for RJ. Jason Garrett was on, and the question was essentially asked. It basically was a boiling down of all the things that have been frustrating you all day long. Hey, what's the story with running the ball all those times when you needed to be passing it?
Yeah, again, Kellen's calling the game, and in that situation, it's second and two when he felt like he had a good opportunity against a favorable box to run the ball in those situations. And on each of those plays, we had options beyond just the run, and unfortunately, we weren't able to convert, and we got into that fourth down situation and didn't convert that. So, obviously, you want to continue that drive. You want to go score a touchdown there. Unfortunately, we didn't get it done.
All right, so here's the possibilities here. First of all, it's Kellen Moore's fault because Jason Garrett said straight away Kellen Moore calls the plays.
Interesting.
Or...
because I always thought that it was that they all shared the responsibility.
I mean, I can play the clip again if you want to. Let's count how many words it takes to get to Kellen Moore as the one who calls the plays. Ready? Go.
Yeah, again, Kellen's calling the game.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, again.
That's like four words.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, again, Kellen's calling the game.
Okay. Yeah. If you count the, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
Those are words.
Or is it Dak Prescott's fault because you heard Jason Garrett say there are options, with the obvious implication being run pass option? Or is it Jason Garrett's fault because he's the one who oversees this and he should have the final decision? Where do you guys fall on that? People have been alluding to the play calling all day long. Here's your opportunity, 877-881-1053. Who do you hold kind of responsible for that? And then somebody also asked from the 972, so no one saw Travis Frederick's missed block. We literally asked him about that this morning and his frustration after that. So, yes, I absolutely saw that on the third down play.
And I've seen, Brian Baldinger, we've had on the show a couple times, and Jeff Kavanaugh both have broken it down on Twitter. And it looked like it was Connor Williams.
Who peeled off early.
Yeah, he went to get to the linebacker too soon, and I don't think Travis expected that. And so it was kind of a miscommunication and an error on his part that kind of blew up the play ultimately. But Dak made the right decision, for a run pass option.
We'll find the clip. Travis Frederick said that was definitely me losing my cool and expressing my frustration.
Jeff Kavanaugh on RPO number one, the second and two, he said at the point where Dak has to make a decision, the unblocked defender on his right that he reads has not committed inside. He has man coverage, but not everyone is en route or en route. He said, my verdict, correct decision to give. So with the RPO there, should you have called an RPO in that situation?
He says yes.
He
says yes with the run.
Yeah, he says that it was the right decision to go ahead and give there. But you guys, that's up to y'all. Should they have even called an RPO? Should it have just been play action and a pass to go ahead and get into the end zone or closer to the goal line?
Yes.
Especially when it was second and two.
Yes.
And second and two is when you throw. So when it comes to that, that was the correct decision there, but you got to throw there. 877-881-1053.
From the 469, Jason's fault. He's clearly stated, ultimately, I do have a say-so in the play calling, and running every first down is clearly his blueprint. And I know that part is never, never going to change. From the 682, Garrett was too quick to pin the blame on Kellen, in my opinion. So where do you put the blame? Right now, overwhelmingly, it is Jason Garrett, which is probably not terribly surprising given what people think already. Like, half of the people, let's say it's like 60-40, people like Dak, don't like Dak. All right, so 40% don't like Dak. What's the percentage of people that still like Kellen Moore? Well, he's new and like
it's
maybe
year one.
Yeah. So maybe it's still like 60-40, 70-30, whatever. But what percentage of the fan base do you feel like really likes Jason Garrett? Like 15%? So
that's probably a little generous.
Yeah, fair enough. So like, but you knew this is the direction it was going to go because 85% of the fans already don't like Jason Garrett. So it doesn't particularly surprise me that overwhelmingly thus far, people are blaming Jason Garrett.
Yeah, he gets a lot of the blame. He gets a lot of the blame all the time.
Of course.
He's the head coach. His one job that we see is clock management. And Kevin, I want to take you back to the Arizona Cardinals game in like his first season when Dez Bryant, made a great catch and he didn't make any good calls then. He's frozen his own kicker before. He's had problems the entire way. I also think he's done some really good things. I heard Sean Sharif say this morning he's the ultimate guidance counselor, but he's not the guy that gives you the advantage on the field.
Yeah.
As he's probably, whenever it comes to players, they probably love him because of the way that he works with them. But whenever it comes to being the expert schemer, an expert at doing the things that it's going to take to have an advantage in a game, it's not Jason Garrett. And some people have suggested that because he comes on our station, and there we'll have the Jason Garrett press conference today during the G-Bag Nation, that because he comes on the station that we take it easy on him. I don't think anybody on this show ever has. I know Sean and RJ don't. I know G-Bag doesn't take it easy on him. And even Brian Broaddus, whenever he comes on for his hits with us, what does he do? He was like, I tried to get this coach fired for years.
Every time you hear Jason Garrett say, well, again, just know that means he does not approve of your question because he thinks he has already answered your question to a satisfactory manner. This is remarkable to me from the 817. My six-year-old kept asking me why the Cowboys always run on first down. Every time he said he noticed it, and he's a six-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, and
that's concerning.
I bet a lot of the question, too, was why do they just run into the big pile? Why don't they run around it? And that's always,
That's a fair, legitimate football question.
Dalvin Cook found the holes. Dalvin Cook was able to find the running lanes to get through. And I feel like that was, that was a struggle for Zeke last night. And Travis said that one of the things they noticed is that the Vikings added wrinkles to their defense last night that they weren't prepared for. They did things that they did not see on the film. And Kevin, I don't know how you have something that you're like, we identified what the Cowboys do well. We identified how we can beat them with a different defense, and we're going to do these things. They changed up their entire defense. They added some wrinkles to it so that they could do things that the Cowboys wouldn't expect instead of saying, we just got to go out there and execute, right?
Yeah.
So that's the defense, right? We're not just going to go out there and run the same defense all the time. We're going to do something just a little different, and it's going to confuse and frustrate them.
From the 972, I want to know you specifically, Corey, do you believe this? Kellen is calling the plays out of Garrett's playbook. So the implication is, so there's only so much he can do. So maybe Kellen is calling the plays, but it's still Garrett's playbook. Do you believe that? I don't think I do believe that.
I think they have an entire room full of people who have certain things that they excel at. They all work together with these things. I think there is a general philosophy that Jason Garrett said, we want to be this kind of thing, right? We want to be this kind of offense, very balanced.
Yep.
I mean, he said that this morning when he was on with Sean and RJ. We want to be a balanced offense. We want to run a little bit. We want to pass a little bit. We want to be able to do everything. And I believe that Kellen Moore is working within those parameters of how do I balance this thing out and not get too one-sided, and how do I do something that maybe they're not going to expect. I also think that the Cowboys hired a guy whose specialty was route combinations and how to expose defenses with the best route combinations. And one of the things I think the Cowboys have done very differently this year is run a bunch of different route combinations that they get their receivers open in big space. I mean, look at Michael Gallup's catch last night across the field. He had a huge catch across the field because of one of the rub routes they ran. Why didn't they do that with Zeke on the fourth down play? Why didn't they get more space for him on that play instead of setting him up in a position where that ball could get knocked down as easily as it was?
On the 6-8-2, Dak played great, but I think it's on him. He should have kept the ball and run a couple times in the RPO. And I like this one from the 940. It's Romo's fault. He should have told Dak to blow off the wrong play call when needed. Surely that's the number one piece of advice you could have got passed down. All right.
Wouldn't that be Amari Cooper's fault, though? He did it in the Eagles game last year.
Yeah. So Amari just needed to tell him every time, hey, not just on this one play, just whenever the heck you honestly feel like it. Plus, throw the ball to me with the littlest amount of space possible on the field, and I'll definitely catch it.
Kevin, you're dead on about how overwhelmingly it is on Jason Garrett. I can't really look back and say that I'm going to defend Kellen Moore on a couple of the plays that he may have been calling, but I do like this text. From the 903, I'm not a Saints fan, but I know of 3 to 4 big games, big-time Saints wins that I would call coaching wins. How many does Garrett have?
I mean, I can't.
The Cincinnati game after one of his players?
Yeah, but how many years ago are we talking now? Outside of that, I can't.
I mean, there were times when we were saying, okay, you know, they had the balls in the wheelbarrow, you know, when Jason Garrett was like, we're going to go for it on fourth down. I love when you have those moments.
I mean, I guess the Saints game last year at home, you know, it felt like they schemed against the Saints
and
offense.
That's fine.
I'm
not here to shout down an example.
Right.
So there you go.
I'm trying to be fair, you know, trying to think of whatever I can.
Two in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, all right, we can go beyond just the play calling. I want to know what else. What do you think is missing from this team? 877-881-1053. And be on alert because we will also have Stephen Jones. Do all that next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.